resurrected from the dead, the Bible tells us that Jesus lingered around earth for 40 more days. Have you ever asked yourself this question? Why did he stick around?
This is Straight Talk.
You know, Steve, I believe that so many people misunderstand the Holy Spirit. Some people talk about the Holy Spirit as though he were a liquid or a power or an energy or some sort of wind that blows. But the truth of it is that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is a person. And when we talk about being filled with the Spirit, we're not talking about this liquid being poured into our body or our soul. We're talking about the person of the Holy Spirit controlling more of our life. That's what it means to be full of the Spirit. It's the power of the Spirit of God, the person of the Holy Spirit, taking more control over our character, our thoughts, different areas of our life. And as we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and allow the Holy Spirit to fill us, then we will walk in the Spirit, and we won't fulfill the desires of the flesh, but we'll fulfill the desires of God. So I am totally convinced that without the Holy Spirit being involved in our daily life, we would blow it big time every day. So that's why this series of teaching is so important. Supernatural, what it means to live in a community where the Holy Spirit is moving and active and welcomed.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Straight Talk. Pastor Mark is beginning a new series today entitled Supernatural, and we will be taking an in-depth look at the book of Acts, which is the story of the early church. A supernatural community is marked by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of every believer that claims to be a follower of Jesus. Let's get right into the message. Our text will be found in the book of Acts, chapter 1. Here's Pastor Mark with his message called Purpose in Community.
Let me tell you, there's something different about this gathering that is unique. We are not the Knights of Columbus. We are not the PTA group. We are different than a bowling league. We're not the bingo club. There is something unique and different about this gathering that comes together on Sunday morning here at New Life. Because what Scripture tells us is that this is not just a gathering of people and not just a community of people, but this is a supernatural community. It's supernatural because when we gather together like this, it's not just us being present here, it's the presence of Almighty God that accompanies us as well. And the presence of Almighty God manifests Himself via the Holy Spirit. We are connected to one another. Not only is God present, Scripture says that where two or three are gathered together in His name, He's here in the midst of them. So the presence of God is here. But not only are we gathered together in Jesus' name, but also we are a supernatural community because each of you that have claimed Christ as Savior and Lord has the Holy Spirit living inside of them. And we are connected to one another via the Holy Spirit. So before we jump into reading this passage in Acts, I want us to pray together. Father, we ask that this morning, as we dive into your word, I pray that you would open up our spiritual ears. And I pray, Father, that you would soften our heart. And I pray that you would speak to us, God, in a powerful way. And Lord, I don't know everybody that's gathered here this morning, but I'm sure there's people that are gathered together with specific needs in their life. And I ask God that you would meet those needs in a powerful, direct way. And so we invite you, Spirit of God, come, Lord Jesus, and do your work. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll be reading out of Acts chapter 1, out of the New International Version. And I want to begin reading the first verses here. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that my Father has promised, which you have heard speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Now, before we jump into this passage in Acts, I want you to understand a little bit about the book of Acts and who wrote the book of Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke, was a physician. And he is also the author of the book of Acts. He was a doctor. He wrote about the things of Jesus. He told the story of Jesus. And then he also wrote the book of Acts. Now, he says, "In my former book," referring to the Gospel of Luke, "Theophilus, I write about all that Jesus began to do and teach." This book was written to a fellow by the name of Theophilus, Theo. Now, we don't really know who Theo was, but his name means lover of God. Theo means God. Philio means love. He's lover of God. Now, who was this fellow by the name of Theophilus? Well, in the Gospel of Luke, Luke talks to him as though he were a man of high status. Most scholars believe he was probably someone high up in the Roman government and held a high political position. Now, we don't know if Theophilus was a Christian or if he was just a sympathizer with Christianity, but nonetheless, Luke is writing to explain the story of Jesus and the story of the apostles after Jesus. And he writes this entire, imagine receiving a letter that's 28 chapters long. And he's trying to convince Theophilus that these people of the way, these people that are followers of Jesus, are legitimate people, not a threat to the Roman government. This is what their message is. This is what they're all about. This is what their heart is. And he writes the book of Acts. Now, Acts is called Acts of the Apostles, or I think even better, Acts of the Holy Spirit. Acts is all about what happened after Jesus left. What did the church do? What did these people do? What is this thing called the ecclesia, the called out ones, the church? And so we have a lot to learn from the book of Acts. By the way, I think we're still living out the book of Acts. There's only 28 chapters in the book of Acts, but the story continues on, and we are a part of that story. We are the church, and we continue to write chapter 32 and 35 and 40 and 50 and chapter 100, and there'll be more chapters after us because we are the people of God, filled with the message of God, continuing the story of the work of the Holy Spirit here on earth. So he says, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up into heaven after giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen." If you're taking notes this morning, I want you to jot this down. God is preparing a people to change the world. And Jesus, first of all, prepares the people, and they need to be a people of a convincing message. Notice what he says. "After his suffering," talking about Jesus, "he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God." Now, when Jesus died on the cross, you know the story, that 3 days later, he rose from the dead, right? He resurrected from the dead. After he resurrected from the dead, the Bible tells us that Jesus lingered around earth for 40 more days. Now, have you ever asked yourself this question? Why did he stick around? He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. Why didn't he ascend into heaven right away? Why did he decide and choose to stay around for another 40 days? What was the purpose? What was the mission? The book of Acts tells us a little bit what that purpose and mission was. First of all, it tells us that he was there, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. You see, part of the message of Christianity depends on the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. If Jesus did not raise from the dead, there is no message in Christianity. There is no hope. There is no Christianity. I believe that one of the reasons that Jesus stayed around for 40 days was that Jesus was making sure that his disciples and his followers knew without a shadow of doubt that he had risen from the dead. By the way, Jesus did not raise in spirit form. He was not a ghost. He was not a spirit. He was not some half man, half spirit being that rose from the dead. The Bible tells us that Jesus rose physically from the dead. And not only did he rise physically from the dead, but he appeared to Mary Magdalene. He appeared to his apostles in the upper room. He appeared to Thomas when Thomas said, "Hey, I don't believe it was really Jesus." And he said, "Put your finger in my hand, touch my side." He appeared to 500 of his disciples, and he hung out with them 40 days. He ate with them. He hugged them. They kissed him on the cheek. He embraced them. He was not a spirit being. He appeared to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Why is this so important? Because it's important to understand that Jesus rose physically from the dead and not just spiritually. That's huge. And I believe that Jesus stayed around so that his disciples would understand that he was physically alive, that he had been physically dead, and he physically rose from the dead on the third day, defeating death, defeating Satan, and establishing the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the way, this is one of the most compelling arguments for the resurrection of Jesus. There were 12 apostles, right, that Jesus chose. One of those apostles denied him, betrayed him, and hung himself, committed suicide, and that was Judas. The 11 other disciples, they saw Jesus raised from the dead, and their faith would be tested. In fact, we know that they believed in the resurrection of Jesus so strongly that those 11 apostles, all except the apostle John, who died of natural causes at an old age, all the other apostles died a martyr's death. That means, history tells us that one of them was crucified upside down. Another one was, his head was chopped off. Another one was skinned alive. Another one was boiled in hot oil. Now, if you didn't believe that this message was true, the moment they started skinning you alive, you would say, "Hey, I'm not convinced about this." If they just thought it was a spirit being, the moment they're crucifying you, you're going to say, "Wait a second, maybe it was just a shadow, maybe it was just a ghost, but he didn't really raise from the dead." These apostles saw Jesus, hugged Jesus, ate with Jesus. They were convinced that Jesus rose from the dead, and they were so convinced that they were willing to suffer and die because they believed it.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Purpose in Community, which is part of our series called Supernatural. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We are in the book of Acts chapter 1. Our message is called Purpose in Community.
So Jesus hung around for 40 days just to make sure that they understood this. But I believe also that he hung around for 40 days because he was, look at what it says. And it says he appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Now, this is important. I want you to track with me, and I know we're going to cover some areas today that make you have to concentrate a little bit. And so I want you to stay with me. Everybody tracking with me so far? Just nod your head. Staying with me? Okay. All right. My son Grant started school. He's 8 years old. He started school last week. And one of the list of requirements for his class, one of the elements that had to be in his backpack was 40 pencils. 40 pencils? I said, "Are you sure your teacher's not keeping a few pencils for herself? I mean, 40? That's a lot of pencils to have." And he said, "Yeah, Dad, they all have to be sharpened." Okay. All right. So him and I were sharpening 40 pencils. We started with the electric sharpener. and it burned out or something, and then we had to go to the manual sharpener. But when you're writing with a pencil and the lead is a little wasted down, you can still write, but you sharpen it so that it will be more precise, right? So that it can be clearer. I believe that the apostles already had the message of Jesus. But I believe that Jesus stayed around 40 days to sharpen the message, to make sure it was clear before he left. He wanted to make sure they understood clearly the message that he was about to preach. Now, if you had 40 days, if you were to get a notice today that says, hey, you have 40 days to live, 40 days and you're dead. And you had 40 days to hang out with your family, 40 days to hang out with your kids and loved ones. I bet you would make sure that those 40 days, if you had something to say, you're not going to talk about trivial things. You're going to talk about important things, right? You're going to say, what do I want to say in 40 days? I only have 40 days. It's my last message. I really want to say things that are really important. Well, this gospel of the kingdom of God, this concept of the kingdom of God, must be super important if that's what Jesus talked about for 40 days after he resurrected from the dead, right? It must be important. Look at what it says. For 40 days, for a period of 40 days, he spoke about the kingdom of God. This is not a minor point. This is a mega point. Important enough to Jesus that he'd spend 40 days talking about it. Here's the question. What is the kingdom of God? If it was so important that he would spend 40 days about it, don't you think that you and I should have a grasp of what the kingdom of God is? If I were to say to this auditorium here, hey, could you define the kingdom of God for me this morning? My guess is that a lot of us would have a tough time describing what it is. I think some of us would say, well, is it heaven? I mean, is he talking about heaven? Others would say, well, is it, you know, some kingdom in Israel? Others would feel like it's this generic, nebulous, undefinable terminology that we really have heard about, but we can't quite pin down. What is the kingdom of God? What is it? Well, let's try to define it, because I think it's important for us to have a clear message. Do you remember John the Baptizer? The Bible tells us that he was related to Jesus, by the way. And if you were to go to Jerusalem and go down to the Jordan River, right about the time that Jesus was turning 30 years old, you would see this guy with a long beard, uncut hair, looked like sort of a homeless hippie, with a little locust leg probably hanging on his beard because he ate locusts, and a little honey dripping from his mustache because he ate honey as well. He lived in the desert. He had a hoarse voice because he preached without a microphone. He had fire in his eyes. His robe was probably a little dirty, and his message was this: repent and be baptized, for the kingdom of God is coming soon, or the kingdom of God is at hand. He was known as John the Baptizer. And he was telling the people, get ready, because the kingdom of God is about to come. The kingdom is coming. And then later on, when Jesus was teaching, Jesus turned to the disciples and he basically said, the kingdom of God is among you. Jesus taught us when he taught us to pray. His disciples went to Jesus and they said, Jesus, teach us to pray because we don't really know how to pray. And do you remember how he taught them to pray? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is the kingdom of God? Well, obviously the kingdom of God, we know that it seems like Jesus brought the kingdom of God, because John the Baptizer said, get ready because the kingdom of God is coming. And once Jesus was here, he said, the kingdom of God is among you. So Jesus seems like he brought the manifestation of the kingdom of God here on earth. What is a kingdom? A kingdom is a place where there's a king, there's a people, and there's a rule and reign. The gospel of Jesus Christ, I want you to stay with me because this is important. God's will is that the earth would reflect the kingdom of God. God's will is that this earth would reflect the values of the kingdom of heaven. Have you ever asked yourself, what is heaven like? There's no sickness. There's no death. There's no prejudice and bigotry and violence and lying and killing. There's no poverty. There's no oppression. In fact, it tells us in Revelation there's not even a need for light because the glory of God provides the light. There's harmony. There's a sense of peace. There's no sin there. That's the kingdom of heaven. When we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, what we are saying is, God, we want the values of the kingdom to be manifest here on earth. And we are carriers of the values of the kingdom. We carry the kingdom of God within us because the way we enter the kingdom, Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, unless a man be born again, he cannot what? Enter the kingdom of heaven. We have to be, how do we enter the kingdom? We need to be born again and we enter the kingdom. The Bible also declares that there's two spiritual kingdoms that are at conflict here on earth, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. They battle with each other. Some people say, how could there be a God if there's so much injustice, so much violence, so much hatred on earth? If God is really real, why does all this exist? Well, God is real, but so is the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. God is establishing his kingdom of light in a place where the kingdom of darkness reigns. Listen, folks, you are not in heaven. Hello? The reason this earth does not reflect God is because this earth is halfway under the dominion of the kingdom of darkness. And we are carriers of the kingdom of light to bring in the kingdom of light into this, the kingdom of God into this kingdom of darkness. And there will constantly be battles between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. We are not in heaven. So expect death and prejudice and violence and bigotry. Expect lying and hatred. Expect that because this is part of the kingdom of darkness. But God is saying to us, as a group of people, as a people of God, it is your job to carry the values of the kingdom, and wherever you are at, to begin to spread the values of the kingdom in your families, in your communities, in your neighborhoods, because I've called you to bring the kingdom of God to where you live. Are you tracking with me? Now, why is that so important? It's so important because I want you to hear me well, because there's a clear distinction I want to make here. Some of you, when you think about God, all you think about is your own personal relationship with God. And you say, well, God saved me. He forgave my sins. I put a little fish sticker on the back of my car. I have a Turner Burn t-shirt. And I have a Bible beside my bedstand. So I'm in, and that's all I have to worry about. I'm one of those believers. And so, wait a second. This is not about just you and God. You see, if you are part of the kingdom of God, you are a part of a people. And it's not about God helping you out in your life. It's not about just God joining your business and helping make life easier for you. If you have become a part of his kingdom, then that means that you're in the service of the king and you're on mission with the king. It's not about you, it's about him. It's about you cooperating with the bigger people of God to spread the kingdom of God here on earth. That's what Jesus is talking about. And you say, well, where does the church come in all of this? Well, the church is a carrier of the kingdom.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe in Chicago at our main campus, New Life Midway, with part one of his message entitled Purpose in Community. It's from his current series called Supernatural. Please do join us again tomorrow on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.